everybody?
Good morning.
Mark, thank you. That was awesome as usual. So, I just want to start out by thanking, well, obviously, thank you to Cody. I appreciate you trusting me, giving me the opportunity to be able to get up here and speak God's word to this church. And I'm grateful for every opportunity that I get to do that. I'm grateful for you guys, and I'm grateful that you guys let me speak into your hearts. And I'm grateful for you guys for the prayers the past few days, week and a half or so. The whole facial paralysis thing I've been going through has been a little trying in this season, and I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was a little nervous getting up here today, because I haven't really done a lot of speaking since it happened to me. And it is a little bit laboring to talk, I guess. But we're going to get through this, because I'm not going to let the enemy silence me. He's hit me with this. He's hit me with some sinus and congestion, some sickness. And you know what? We're going to persevere. We're going to push through. And we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus to his people. But like I said, always a little nervous when I preach anyway. But you throw this stuff on top, it makes it a little worse. But anyway, just thank you for the prayers. Thank you for all that. And I can honestly say that I'm healed, and I'm just walking off the symptoms now.
Amen.
So I know that some of you guys are probably a little nervous too, because it's Christmas time. I'm sure you've hopefully by now you've ordered or bought the items that you're going to buy for gifts. If not, then I should be a little nervous, because we're probably not going to come by Christmas at this point. When I can tell by the amount of Amazon and UPS and FedEx trucks that are out there, that online ordering is full swing.
Yeah.
But anyhow, there's another reason that might be a little nervous this time of year, because Christmas, it tends to open up opportunities that you're not going to have during most other times in the year, where you might end up at somebody's house, or somebody may end up at your house, or you're riding in a car, or going somewhere, you're at a table somewhere, at a restaurant, or office parties, wherever it might be, and you may have to interact with some people that you don't interact with on a regular basis. Might cause a few awkward moments here and there, because you haven't interacted with them since last Christmas. You may not have interacted with them since a few Christmases ago, but you may struggle to remember names, you may struggle to remember faces, you may just cause a little struggle, but it kind of reminds me of family reunion that we had on my side of the family. Shan's side of the family, they've been doing it forever. I mean, they're like old pros at it. But so anyway, she has family in South Georgia, and I have family in South Georgia. And long story short, I was stationed at Moody Air Force Base. We met through mutual friends, and 25 years later, we're still married.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for her. Anyway, in South Georgia, like I said, I have several family members up there too. One of my cousins taught her in school. Another one of my cousins was real close, real like best friends with a couple of her brothers. So, at the family reunion, it's a little awkward, because she's the one walking around introducing me to my family. But I tell you that because it's just to say that sometimes you just got to push through the awkwardness, and sometimes you got to reintroduce yourself to some people again. And the Christmas season is a time that a lot of that's going to happen. Since we're talking about the Christmas season, and since we're talking about introductions, I want to introduce to you someone very special. And this guy's name was Isaac Watts. And Quint, we got a picture of old Isaac here. And Isaac, he lived in the late 1600s and early 1700s. That was the hairstyle for the day, but that's pretty fancy there. Not really my style, but Isaac Watts was a theologian. He was a pastor, but he was also a songwriter. And he wrote a whole bunch of hymns. And most of the hymns he wrote have been lost over time. But there's a few game changers y'all might realize if you grew up in church. And here's a few of his chart toppers. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? I heard of that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I survey the wondrous cross, it's another one.
I know you know it.
Our God, our help in ages past. No? Okay. All right, so most of them aren't songs that you're going to, you know, go about your day of the business, go around doing your chores, your house, whatever, work, singing those, you know, in your head. But Isaac Watts, he wrote hundreds of songs. He's actually credited with over 750 hymns. That's a lot. But probably the most popular, the most familiar one he wrote was a Christmas carol. As a matter of fact, it's the most popular Christmas carol, and we sang it this morning, and it's Joy to the World. The Joy to the World, that is one of those tunes that you can run around, going about your daily business, your chores, your work, whatever, and kind of have it in your head. And, you know, for whatever reason, I think I find it funny that you can go a whole entire calendar year without hearing or singing that song, but as soon as it starts to play, the words just, they kind of come back to you.
That's
pretty cool. But Isaac Watts, he wrote this song under the inspiration of the Scriptures. He wrote it out of the book of Psalms. Chapter 98. And it's in the beginning of verse 4. I'm going to read it for us today. And I want us to look at this psalm and look at what he wrote. And I want to see exactly what God's saying through it. So Psalm 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. From those verses, over 300 years ago, Isaac Watts wrote the song, Joy to the World. It's not hard to see how, from the poetry of that psalm, he could come up with this wonderful Christmas carol. But I can tell you something else that's hard to see. You know, if we're being transparent this morning, and we're looking at the state of the world that we're in, is it still possible to sing Joy to the World? When we take a look at the news, we see hatred, we see racism, and it seems to run rampant. There's sickness and disease, it's plaguing people all around us. War is continually breaking out. It's not just wars. It's people threatening different types of wars. And on top of that, there's sin. Sin is something we see continually before us. People promote sin these days. They don't shy away from it. They twist all kind of evil things as good, and good as evil. And it just should make us stop for a moment and say, is it even possible to sin? Joy to the world. And some of you might feel a little bit disconnected at Christmas time, especially with the music, right? All the songs, they're about celebration. It's about good stuff. It's you know, about angels singing, about miracles, about joy, about peace. And you sing those words and you step back a minute and say, I don't see a lot of peace in my life right now. I don't feel a lot of joy in my life right now. Is it still possible to sing Joy to the World? I want to tell you this morning, it's more than possible. We sing Joy to the World because Jesus came.
That's right.
Right. This Christmas baby, that's God wrapped in flesh. Right. Our hope has come. Our joy has come. Our peace has come. See, Jesus wasn't just another baby who was born. He was God in the flesh.
That's right.
When he was born, the wise men, some of the smartest men of their time, they were reading the heavens, and they came and they worshipped him. We see that in the Christmas story. Another thing we see in the Christmas story is shepherds. They spent much of their time in isolation. Shepherds weren't good people back in the day. They isolated themselves away from other people. But we find that they couldn't stop singing the glory to God in the highest of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And as they looked up in the heavens, even the universe was praising and worshiping our Savior just because that star in the sky came to rest over the manger that day. But why? Because deity that made humanity became human. And Paul describes that in Colossians 2:9. He says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. The entire nature and essence of God lives fully in Christ Jesus. From God in heaven to God on earth, but not just God on earth. Emmanuel, God with us." No wonder Psalm 98 says that the seas roar and the rivers clap their hands. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. So my hope is to encourage somebody this morning. Maybe you're just going through the motions of Christmas. You're not sure what's going to happen next. I want to remind you that no matter what your circumstances look like, you can have joy today because Jesus is coming. It's joyful because in our sin-filled and broken world, God took the first step. He took the initiative in loving us first. Right? I think it's so important for us to understand this. Too often, I think we tend to forget that God loved us first and He came to us. No other religion in the world works that way. The world will have you believe that all paths lead to God and all paths lead to heaven. And there's a quote out there from the Dalai Lama, who was a Buddhist spiritual leader, and he says, "People take different roads seeking fulfillment and happiness. Just because they're not on your road does not mean they've gotten lost." That's such a dangerous way of thinking.
Right.
We can't think like that. I need to remind you today, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. You can't subscribe to the teachings of Confucius and make it to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way." He said, "I am the truth." He said, "I am the life." And no one gets to the Father except through Him. Right, God did what nobody else could do. He stepped out of heaven and into the earth. He took the first steps. He loved us first, and He came to us. Every other religion says, "You try to get to me." Every other religion is a quest. Every other religion, there's a journey. You have to work to become something. You have to work to earn something. Right? All the gods of these other religions, and by the way, these are little g gods. All the little g gods say, if you do more, you'll be more. If you do better, you'll be better. If you jump higher, if you go through the hoops, then maybe, just maybe, you'll be accepted. But that's not how our God works. Our big G God, He said, "I'm going to come down." He said, "I'm going to make the journey that you can't make." He said, "I'm going to live the life that you can't live." He said, "I'm going to die the death that you should have died. And I'm going to be raised to life again so that you can have eternal life." And when I think about that, I can't help but say, joy to the world.
Amen.
The Lord is coming.
Amen.
There's something else about the song "Joy to the World" that's pretty important. So Isaac Watts wrote, "He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found." And when you sing that, it gets a little bit repetitive. I don't think he just ran out of rhyming words, though. He was in there intentionally. Just like when we read in Scripture and something's repeated, it's because there's significant emphasis that's on it. And he wasn't just running out of words. He repeats these specific words different times. And we see it in different verses of the song, we see in heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing. We see repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. We see in wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. But we also see far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Okay. He does it in a repetitive way because he wants to bring emphasis on it. But here's the question. Why would you want to bring emphasis to your curse? Right? This is a Christmas song. It's a joyful song. It's a happy song. It's a celebration song. It's a Christmas carol. So why do you even want to talk about the curse of sin? He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Why can't we just stop with the idea of the blessings? Well, some people they do. Some people, that's their theology. People think that when you come to Christ, you're just going to be blessed all the time. Happy, 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 right? Right? That you're never going to have any difficulty. And then Monday hits and you're all about your circumstances again. You know, Sunday was wonderful. Monday morning, whole another game. See, Isaac Watts, he was familiar with some of the things that you and I experienced. Even though he lived 300 years ago, he understood that there was pain and difficulty in life because of the curse of sin. And when we look at the world around us, when we look at the painful parts of our lives, we know that God's blessings don't yet flow as far as the curse is found. Right, we still live in a sin-filled and broken world. Our world still has struggle, it still has heartache, and it still has pain. The world isn't yet full of or void of sorrow. But the fulfillment of all Christ's work is not yet expressed this side of eternity. That day is coming. So looking at that picture we had up earlier of Isaac Watts, you could kind of say, looks like he's got it all together. Yeah, he's pretty dapper looking. I mean, you got to figure 300 something years ago, that's probably pretty normal, pretty, well, I'd say above average. That was good, man. Don't laugh at him. But Isaac Watts was a theologian. He was a pastor. He was a songwriter. But did you know that he had a debilitating illness? So much so that he lost his ability to preach or pastor his church. He couldn't physically do what was needed any longer. And it grieved his heart so much because he knew that he had a call from God on his life to do something, but he was physically unable to do it. You ever been there before? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what it feels like to have your hopes and your dreams and your desires, but physical circumstances, sometimes just life, stop you from moving forward. You feel this tension, this constant pull that God's calling you over here, but your inability to do it keeps you here. It creates stress, creates worry, creates anxiety. And some of us try to suppress it. Some of us try to hide it. Some of us just try to live with it. You ever been there before? Not only did Isaac Watts have this debilitating illness, but he had to deal with haters. Some of them were in his own church. Some of the people didn't like the songs he wrote. In fact, they were calling him a heretic because they thought that the words that he wrote didn't line up with their interpretation of what Scripture. I just want to take a minute and say I'm extremely grateful for Bart and the time and the effort that he puts into vetting the songs that we do for worship here. He's careful, he's diligent, that the songs do line up with Scripture and not personal opinion. So thank you for that, Bart. But you have this man here who has a call of God, call on his life from God. He's sick, he's unable. And not just that, but his peers rejected. And if that's not enough, Isaac Watts fell in love. He met a young woman. He dated her. He courted her. He got to know her. And he did what every other man in love does. He got down on one knee and he proposed to her, and she said, no. She said, no. The only woman he ever loved, the only woman he wanted to be in marriage with, rejected him. So you have this guy who's rejected physically because of his illness. He's rejected by his peers. He's rejected in his personal relationships. How is he able to write joy to the world? How does a guy like this write the lyrics, "Let heaven and nature sing"? How does he write, "Repeat the sounding joy"? I'm going to tell you. And this could be a significant game changer in your walk with the Lord too. Sometimes you've got to preach the joy of the gospel to yourself. You're not always going to have a worship team. You're not always going to have a preacher. You're not always going to have a second act group leader. You're not always going to have an encouraging person in the office or at work or school or wherever you're at. You're not always going to have the encouragement of a spouse. Sometimes you've got to preach the joy of the gospel to yourself, especially when you're walking through rejection and loss and pain and difficulty. Sometimes you've got to preach the joy of Jesus to yourself. You've got to amplify his voice over the others. You can't always depend on a community of faith to be around you. And I know we're taking a break from the David series, but I was thinking about it. King David, we're seeing 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. It says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Even while the thought about being stoned, people were talking about killing him, David encouraged himself in God. And you know what that means? It means when you're surrounded by darkness, when you're surrounded by rejection, and when the tension between what you do and what you're called to do is pulling you apart, that's when you open the scriptures and you begin to preach the joy of Jesus to yourself. Have you ever had to encourage yourself in the Lord? Have you ever had to say, I don't know what culture's telling me? I don't even know what my friends or my family is telling me. I don't know what the world is telling me. I don't know what my own body is telling me. But I know that the Word of God is truth. Amen. Has anybody had to say that? Despite everything that's going on, I'm going to rest in the Word of the Lord. I know some of your stories from the past several years. For some of you, 2022, 2023, 2024 has been terrible years. You know, within this church alone, we've had several deaths. Little Robert, Melanie, Barry, and Joyce, to name a few. And I know, yeah, we celebrate the fact that they're in heaven, but yeah, our hearts still grieve here on earth. All right, we've had loss. We've had sickness. We've had pain. We've experienced rejection. You know, it wasn't very awesome to be able to have to be kicked out of our last property. But look what God did through it. Some of you may have lost jobs. Some of you may have lost spouses. Some of you may have lost your freedom. We've been hungry. We've been homeless. We've battled addictions. But I want to remind you that you might be walking through the most difficult season of your life, but don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Don't let his voice be the loudest in your ear. Let the voice of the Lord be amplified in your heart and your mind. I want to remind you, you may not have a friend on this earth. You might be rejected by everybody. You might be sick and weak in your body. The world's going to let you down, but you still got the joy of Jesus. Your joy doesn't depend on your circumstances, because your circumstances are going to change. But we serve a God who will never change. We can have joy today because the joy of Jesus is greater than the curse of sin. So we can see the words that Isaac Watts wrote. He was walking through significant pain, but he found such comfort in the word of the Lord. Such comfort that he wrote the words, "No more let sin and sorrow grow, or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found." What he's reminding us of is that that baby in a manger came to hang on a cross and then be laid in a tomb and be raised from the dead, because our God, he came to reverse the curse of sin on humanity. And that's what Christmas is all about. And I really love the last two verses in that psalm. I want to read them again. Throw them up. It says, "Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." From those verses, see if you can hear this. "He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove. In glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love." Here's the thing we need to know. Christmas is about the first coming of Jesus. But you really can't appreciate the first coming of Jesus unless you're looking to the second coming of him. And that's where so many people are disassociated with Christmas. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you recognize the first arrival is really just pointing to the second arrival. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you recognize the first coming of Jesus is just pointing to the second coming of Jesus. And that's what Isaac Watts is talking about in this psalm. He's saying, Jesus is going to come again. He's going to rule the world with truth and grace, joy to the world. At the first Christmas, the Bible tells us that the angels were present for the first coming. We can see in the story there, the angel spoke to Mary. He told her that despite being a virgin, she was going to have this baby who would be Savior of the world. The angel met with Joseph in a dream. He convinced Joseph not to fear marrying Mary and to name the child Jesus. We can see where a heavenly host of angels showed up in a field and they spoke with that group of shepherds and they told him that Jesus was here. And they told him how to find him. That's not the only time that the angels talked about Jesus. They didn't just show up at his arrival, but they also showed up at his departure. We're going to look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1. As Jesus was ascending into heaven, verses 10 and 11 say this: "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven.' I've got joy today because Jesus came to the earth. I've got even greater joy because I know that he's coming again. Joy to the world. The Lord has come." I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to do something a little different, a little non-traditional for this church this morning. And I've asked Bart and the worship team to come up. They're going to lead us in the song, "Joy to the World." Again, I know we sing it all the time. You know, it's a popular Christmas song. It's overlooked as a worship song. But not today. I want us to sing it through the lens of not just a Christmas carol, but through the lens of Jesus coming back for us. Is anybody excited that Jesus is coming back? Yeah. Anybody thankful that he didn't come just one time? Yeah. He's coming back for those who put their faith in him. So let's worship together. Before we sing the last verse about him ruling the world, I want to give you the opportunity today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a little bit. And if you're here this morning, you've never really taken that step of faith. You're familiar with it. You know the stories. You know some of the songs, but you don't know the Savior. This Christmas season is a chance to start over new. It's a chance to start new by making Christ the Lord of your life. Today's your day. Maybe you've prayed a prayer a few times before, but you weren't that serious about it. You were just kind of going through the motions. Today's your day. Maybe you've never prayed it in a meaningful way. Today's your day. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. I'm not going to ask you to repeat these words after me. I don't want you doing anything on my terms. I don't want you doing anything on anybody else's terms. But if you truly desire a relationship with God, you simply just tell Him. Tell Him, God, I need you. Tell Him, God, I believe in you. Tell Him, God, I received the gift you gave. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But Jesus, you graciously gave it. You hung on that cross. You died for my sins. They're completely forgiven. And you rose from the grave, and you're coming back for me. And if you pray that, the Bible promises, as we read in the psalm earlier, the Bible promises that our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. If you pray that, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means the old's gone. It means it's gone. And the new has come. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you'll never mess up. But guess what? It means you're His child. That means if we do sin, when we mess up, it means the same blood that cleansed you at that moment of salvation will cleanse and forgive and keep you. And keep you. And keep you. It also means that when He comes back that second time, like the angels in the chapter 1 of Acts talked about, it means He's coming back for you. Mark's going to lead us in the last verse. We're going to worship and we're going to celebrate. And I hope to see you all on Tuesday for Christmas. Thank you, guys.
Help us to bring the light of your truth to the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen.